I will be sharing my testimony, a journey from deputy sheriff to pastor. I think we might have a few visitors here just because of that. And I cannot tell you how many times I've been asked how in the world I went from deputy to pastor. And how can you just go from one thing and move to another? And so that's what I'll be sharing with you this morning, how God did that. And I cannot emphasize enough that this is not so much a story about me, but a story of a loving and patient God whose plan for me took me someplace that I could never have imagined. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Sometimes when we are in the midst of God's plans, we may not understand and we may not feel like, we may actually feel like we're being harmed. But the promise we see here is that God has the best in mind for us, whether we fully understand that or not. A question I have for you is, do you want what is best in your life? Do you want what is best for you and for your family? Jesus Christ is where that begins. I hope my story conveys just that. His ways are the best ways, and even though I struggled with it, as you're going to hear in a few minutes, my story shows our faithful Lord working in so many areas. Now Juanita's up here because she'll be sharing a little bit as well, because there's more than just one side. There's two. We are together. But to give you a little background on me, I grew up in a Christian home. Actually, my folks are here this morning. But I grew up in a Christian home, and there isn't a time that I do not remember that Jesus Christ, there wasn't a time I don't remember him as my Lord and Savior. I grew up faithfully attending church. I was active in our youth group, and I ran sound for our church and worship services regularly. I was the one in the back booth. But in the middle of high school, I became very interested in a career in law enforcement. And I knew that I was going to be a police officer. I knew it. There wasn't a doubt in my mind that that wasn't where I was going to end up. After graduating, I started working as a jailer dispatcher in a local county sheriff's office near where I lived, and I began going to college for law enforcement. I also frequently rode along with officers and volunteered in positions that allowed me to gain more knowledge and experience. While in college, I was able to begin working as a part-time police officer in that sheriff's office that I worked at. And finally, after graduation, I began working as a full-time deputy sheriff. Everything I did was usually related to this work. I basically ate, slept, breathed law enforcement. You kind of get the idea. I don't know how else to describe it, but that's what consumed my days, a lot of my thoughts. My life centered on it. My friends were in it. I achieved what I set out to do and became a deputy sheriff, and maybe I achieved even more than what I set out to do. While working as a deputy, I was able to perform extra tasks that I enjoyed. I was our department's taser instructor. Oh, yeah. I got to tase all of my coworkers.
And his wife. We tried to show you the video of him tasing me, but it wasn't meant to be.
Some other day. But I got paid to see my coworkers in agony for a moment. I'm not going to lie, I do miss that part. But I also helped train new deputies, a field training officer of sorts. I helped with the K-9 officer. I helped, which means I was the foolish one who the dog trained on. And this particular picture is, the dog's name is Draco, and he was a hard biter. There's padding, but I still felt it.
He has bruises. He had bruises to show it.
I was also on the underwater search and rescue dive team, something I enjoyed doing as far as diving. The training was more fun than the call-outs. But the ultimate achievement of all, what I would say was the biggest achievement I had as a deputy, is I became a member on the area tactical team. And it was what many people call the SWAT team. There's many departments that came together, and just a few of each department were there. So here's a picture that I added some scripture to it just because it made it look a little better. But the arrow's pointing to me. It was a rush, being on the SWAT team. The adrenaline rush of high-risk warrants, high-risk entries, never knowing exactly what was going to happen, but knowing that it was risky.
And some stress for a wife at home every time you got called out.
But I loved it. I loved this part of it, something that is missed. I worked for a great department, and I truly achieved everything I had set out to do. I had made it. Family-wise, I was married to my wonderful wife, Juanita, in 2001. And we had our daughter, Christy, in 2004. My wife and I built our house in southern Minnesota in the late 2003 to early 2004. It was done right before Christy was born. And we were ready to settle in for the long haul. The house was just the way we wanted it. A big kitchen, a nice, relaxing, jetted tub, big bathroom, and there was plenty of space to grow into as a family. Life was good. Life was perfect. Well, that should have been the happily ever after moment. That's at least what I thought it should have been. But there's just one problem. Even though I thought I had everything the way it should be, I felt restless. It wasn't something that just came on overnight, it just slowly grew. And I would say restlessness really started to set in after Christy was born, so after 2004. But restless seems to be the best word I can come up with, because I don't really know how to describe what I was feeling. Restless in life, restless in my career. And though I achieved what I set out to do, and I loved what I did, something just wasn't quite right. I suppressed those feelings for a while, thinking they would go away. Couldn't be a midlife crisis that early. But then I began looking for the Lord for help and direction. I remember feeling that restless way for quite a while, and as I started to pray about him, I can tell you that I felt that my prayers seemed to go unanswered.
So on the other side, I'd like to read a little bit farther for you in Jeremiah 29:11. We don't have a slide for it, but in verse 12, it says, "Then you will call upon me, and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord." So ever since I can remember, I have enjoyed doctoring people. My mom likes to tell this story when I was like maybe 2 or 3 years old, and she came in, and all my baby dolls were naked, and they were all lined up. And as she walked through the green shag carpet, some of you might remember something like that, there was some crunching. And she realized that this was all the uncooked thermometer, uncooked spaghetti that I was using for rectal thermometers. And she knew that they were rectal thermometers because all my babies had a fever because they all had their thermometers in the appropriate location. I also love to read my Bible. I grew up in a Christian home. We were in church if the doors were open. And I remember going to mom and dad at an early age and saying, you know what? I wanted to follow Jesus, and I wanted him in my heart, just like it said I could get in the Bible. As I moved into my teen years, I began to make plans to go to medical school. My dream was I was going to be a doctor. Every time a missionary came and spoke to the church, God stirred in my heart, and my tears fell for the people that had so many needs, physical as well as spiritual. I felt sure Jesus had given me a heart to care for the broken, the sick, and the hurting people of the world, maybe, and especially, overseas. Go ahead, slide. Here, a couple slides off. I didn't meet my first non-white person until I was probably in high school. I grew up in northeast Montana. We were a long way from anywhere. Lots of tumbleweeds, no trees, lots of wind. Ever since I could start holding a crayon, all my people were colored brown. I don't know why my people were brown, especially since I hadn't met any brown people. But I believe that God is a big God, and his ways aren't our ways. And I think he put all those brown people in my heart, and maybe he still has a plan for me and some brown people. You might think this is kind of lofty dreams for a little Mennonite farm girl from Montana. Well, dreams and reality don't always play nicely together. After my first year of college, I began to realize that 16 years, maybe more, of school seemed like an awfully long time. Found myself thinking more about maybe being a mom, a wife. So about a year and a half into college, I switched to a nursing major. 4 years, not 16. I figured I could handle that. So as Joey told you, after I graduated in the summer of 2001, Joey and I were married. And I have to tell you, you know, guys look good in uniform. But don't marry a guy for the uniform. I also have some fond memories of his days as a deputy sheriff. I did go on several ride-alongs with him, so he worked a lot of night shifts, especially when you're starting out in a career. You know how that is, you start working nights. And so I was a nurse, I was a paramedic, and so I would ride with him. And there was more than one call where he was driving very, very quickly to get to the scene. I'm gripping the door, praying for no deer. And he has been known to tell me whatever the, you know, he told me, if, depending on what the call was, he was going to leave me on the side of the road and have one of the guys come get me because he wasn't going to take me with him to the call. And then there were other times where there were medical calls and he was like pushing me in the door first. Not quite, but he was happy to have me, I think, on some of those. So we do have some fond memories, lots of good friends from his law enforcement days. But I wasn't kidding. You know, he was having the time of his life being a SWAT team member, and I was definitely stressing as a wife. There was more than one time when weather got bad, there was only about 6 or 7 deputies. They would be the first ones to go out and look for the tornadoes. And I remember one time being in the basement with Christy. We were just little. It was so green and so much stuff swirling around outside. Couldn't reach him because he's on duty, and I didn't know. I didn't know if he was okay. I didn't know what the weather was like. We were in the basement. So there were lots of times where we did have to depend on God, even in spite of that. So a journal entry I wrote on our wedding day said, "Father, only one more thing that I ask. May our lives reflect your love to the nations, and may our ways be acceptable unto you, O Lord." And I think we began our journey definitely looking to the Lord. But it's so easy to get caught up in things that don't necessarily have eternal value. So about 4 years into marriage, career, I too was feeling a little restless and unsettled. And I started to intensely seek God to find the answers to the questions that I had. I began to explore the possibility of overseas missions. But Joey didn't really share my passion in that area, and You know, with a child that was young, there was a lot of logistics to overcome. So that door kind of closed. I think as I wrestled through this period of time, I had kind of pushed those feelings and dreams into the back burner and just immersed myself in the reality and the immediate demands of my life, you know, meals, laundry, scrapbooking.
So in 2006, after feeling restless and not hearing any direction, I came to the conclusion that if these feelings don't go, that I would change occupations from deputy to DNR, a game warden. The change would still be a law enforcement job. I would still be working in what I felt was where I belonged. Now, with this change, that would have required a relocation. I wouldn't be able to stay where I was at. I would end up relocating. But since I didn't get direction, I went ahead and started the application process. I remember feeling a little uneasy about that because I'd been with this sheriff's office at this time for 10 years. The thought of leaving there was also very troubling, and it was a big deal either way, and I began to seek God even more during this time. And I remember often taking prayer walks kind of around this time. And I think it's difficult to say where exactly I was spiritually before I started taking these prayer walks. After high school, I think I was more focused on my career than my faith. After taking on the full-time deputy position, I know that I frequently looked for excuses to miss church. I would look for excuses on how I could skip church. I often found myself just not wanting to go. My prayer life before this restlessness was, well, more or less limited to when I had a need. My Bible reading, well, that was non-existent. So really, any prayer at this time was really associated with this change that I'm trying to navigate through. With the prospect of changing jobs and moving my family, I prayed for the guidance. Changing scared me, and I don't like change. I still don't like change, but I'm working on it. Yet somehow I lost the passion I once had for the profession of law enforcement. I remember I was doing what I dreamed, but the passion to do it was going. Even though I thought I had my solution of changing careers to DNR, the game warden, this again would keep me in law enforcement. I still wasn't at peace with it. It wasn't until the spring of 2006, while on a prayer walk, that God responded to my request for direction. I've waited for an answer for a while. On a quiet paved road, country road, outside of Richland Center, Wisconsin, while at a scrapbooking retreat. I really need to explain a little bit of that. I went along to watch our daughter while Juanita was actually scrapbooking. I just went to the bed and breakfast, and that's why I was there. But I have to say, I was at a scrapbooking retreat.
He's a closet scrapbooker.
No. Anyways, while at this retreat, on an early Sunday morning, after it rained all night, I decided to go for a walk and spend time with the Lord. Spend time with him in prayer, and especially, again, returning to the same topic I have sought God about for quite a while now, about my future, our future. It was still misting out that morning. I remember it clearly, thinking, well, I'll just walk as far as I can, and if it starts raining, I'll come back. I didn't think I would be gone for very long, but I went. And I really can't describe it, but while I was on that walk, I will say that I knew God's presence was with me more so that morning than any other prayer walk I had taken. I don't know that I can say that there was an audible voice, but I heard very clearly the Lord tell me to be patient and to read His Word. I was happy to hear something. I thanked Him for responding to me. Yet my desire for direction was still unanswered. While on that walk, I continued to be persistent in praying, Lord, what do you want me to do? I enjoyed His presence, but I really wanted an answer. And I remember going, Lord, do I stay at Nicollet County and stay as a deputy and be content? Or do I go to be a game warden with the state? See, I gave God two options. But when I pressed for more, He told me ministry. I think that ended my prayer time that morning. I headed back to the house. You see, it was there that God first called me to vocational ministry on that quiet Wisconsin road. After hearing God on that road, I wish I could tell you that my response was complete obedience right away. But I can't. Truth be told, I initially pretended that that wasn't God. Now, I heard the first two things, be patient and read His Word, but the other part just wasn't quite right. So I brushed it off. I thought maybe it was an act of imagination or some sort of mental fluke. And I mean, God asking me to enter into a ministerial role, that is not me. It's not me. I had two options. Again, stay and be a deputy or game warden. It's really not that difficult. After wrestling with God on this mental level, I finally came to the realization that God was speaking to me. He was giving me some direction. He was answering the very prayer I had been asking for quite some time. Yet it was not the answer I was expecting, and I'll be honest, it was not the answer that I wanted to hear. Yet after coming to this realization, okay, God was calling me, you would think my obedience would then follow, right? Not exactly again. I continue to argue with God in what I'll call my excuses phase. Let's just say that there were so many excuses that I came up with, if I were to write them down, I could title the book 101 Reasons Why I Should Not Be a Minister. I spent a significant amount of time trying to work through all these excuses. There was arguments. Yet I'll have to say that after that wrestling time, in the end, after all of that, my final answer was this: God, if you can use me and you want to use me, here I am. Knowing what a change this will be, I felt I needed to seek confirmation with my wife. Yeah, she was still in the dark. I remember thinking for just a moment, you know, if she doesn't confirm this, I'm off the hook. But I think I knew deep down.
This was like 3 or 4 months at this time.
So I had several opportunities to tell her. I remember a couple times sitting on the couch, just having some conversation. And I remember in the back of my mind, I just need to tell her. I remember, you know, opening my mouth and just wanting to say something, and it just wouldn't come. I'm like, just blurt out something and explain it later. But it wouldn't. I couldn't tell her. It might interest you to know that the only way I could relay some of that information to her was to write her a letter and to tell her. because it was so out of character for me. So on one slow night, while at work, I pulled my squad off to a field approach. We had laptops in the car, and I began to write her an email. After finishing the email, I sat there for what seemed like hours with my finger on the key to hit send, and I remember thinking, as soon as I hit this key, there's no going back. I can't just, a few minutes later decide I want to take it back. Once I hit send, this may change everything. You see, right now, everything I've been going through is just between me and God. No one else can hold me accountable. But as soon as I send that, she's going to be holding me accountable.
So it's about 11 o'clock at night, and I kind of jerked a little bit as the phone rang. And the first thing you think when you're a deputy's wife and the phone is ringing late at night, you're like, what happened? What's going on? Like, who's calling me? What's wrong, right? So I looked at the caller ID. Thank goodness for caller ID, and it was Joey. So I thought, okay, he's calling me. It's all right. And so he kind of started off with the small talk. You know, everything's fine. How's it going? Finally, I'm like, why are you calling me? He's like, well, I just sent you an email, and I want you to read it right away tonight, like now. So in perfect female form, I'm like, well, why don't you just, what does it say? Why don't you just tell me? And he says, well, just read it. And then he hangs up. So now I'm getting kind of worried, like, what is so bad or so important or terrible? You know, he can't even talk to me about it. I mean, I have to read it on an email? So my paper's printed off. I've had this for a number of years. And so I printed the thing off because he told me it's kind of long. You better print it off. And I'm just, you know, glancing down it really fast. And about halfway down, I saw this word ministry. And he's got a big exclamation point by it. So I backtracked to read. And he said, I've been really praying a lot about my future and our future as a family. I'm not sure if you knew this, but a real turning point for me was the trip to Wisconsin when you had your stamping getaway. I don't know if you remember, but I took a really long walk. I don't even think you knew I left. But it was Sunday morning, and I've been praying, and I'm not sure if my prayers are the right ones. I've been asking the Lord to show me or tell me which direction he wants me to go in my life, specifically career-wise. And during that walk, I felt really close to the Lord, and I got what I feel was a clear answer. I can't describe it, but I heard it, and he told me to be patient and start reading his word. I felt very happy, yet a little disappointed. I'm happy that he's with me, and he has a plan for my family. Jeremiah 29:11 was our verse when we got married. But I'm still in the dark about what he wants me to do. Does he want me to stay with the county and be content? Although I'm a little burned out, am I still making a difference for him? Or does he want me to go to the DNR? Would I better serve him there? Is there something not yet revealed to me? While I was on my walk, something popped in my head, and I can't say if it was my own thoughts or something planted there by the Lord. Ministry. I kind of just shrugged it off because I don't want to be a pastor. I haven't even read the Bible yet. I'm sure there are thousands of other people better qualified, and I just really don't want to have that responsibility. I had a good walk and talk with the Lord on that day, and I might not have expressed it in my actions to you, but it's a memorable day for me. Well, I hadn't even gotten through that section, and there's more to the letter, but I was sweating. I was like snot crying. I knew without a shadow of a doubt that only God would take my very strong, very predictable husband, having nearly achieved his dream DNR job, only God could take him from that and direct him instead to full-time ministry. So God confirmed immediately in my spirit that this was from him and that our answer would be yes, no matter what that looked like. My journal entry about a year and a half before we went to Missouri, so I would say it's probably a few months after this letter, but I wrote, I marvel at Ruth's trust and love during this most uncertain time of her life. Oh, Father, might I demonstrate similar action and thoughts as Joey and I consider his potential job change. I know, Father, that you have all plans in your secure, steady hands, and I just pray that we might be used for the greatest good for your kingdom. That night, we stepped onto what I like to call the God roller coaster. I love roller coasters. Some people do not. But in case you don't know, you get on, the little safety belt goes on, the safety bar comes down, and now you're 100% committed. Ready or not, it's going to start, okay? So you can either close your eyes and scream the entire way, gripping the side for security, right? Or you can just open your eyes, put your hands up, and enjoy the whole unpredictable ride. Either way, you don't get to get off until the ride comes to an end. And the bar comes up, and they tell you, you may now exit the ride.
After receiving Juanita's complete and full support, I sought and received good counsel from friends, family, and pastors. Though I had made it to almost the end of the game warden application process, I called and withdrew my application. And we moved to Springfield, Missouri in the summer of 2007, where I began 4 years of biblical and pastoral training. To further show the change, I became a full-time stay-at-home dad and also a student, while Juanita worked full-time and supported us financially. A challenging and difficult time for both of us. Yet that doesn't really tell you what was going on inside of me. You see, my lifelong dream of being a police officer was now gone. I gave up a position with the sheriff's department where I worked for 11 years. The identity that was so central to me as a law enforcement officer was gone. And now the only thing I could identify myself as was a stay-at-home dad and student. It was really nothing in comparison. We left behind our close family and the house that we built. And if I can be honest again, I felt like something had just been ripped from me, like rip an arm off or a leg off. I was a broken man. Jeremiah 29:11 says, or was something that I held on to because I had a hope and a future to look forward to, but my life just got turned upside down, and it was painful for me. Let's fast forward a couple of years, and the pain of the change had lessened, but I still missed law enforcement. Our family grew as we had Caitlin in 2010, and I graduated from seminary in 2011. I felt certain that God would have an open door ready and waiting for me as a pastor at the completion of my 4 years of school. I was certain that He had a place for me, but again, not what I was expecting. We transitioned to a smaller church in Springfield, Missouri that was struggling, and we came alongside the pastor and his family to help wherever there was a need. I sent out resumes to churches looking for pastors. I sent a bunch of them out to many different states. I received a lot of, you're not what we're looking for in a pastor.
Or can you live 140 miles from Walmart?
Which we would have said yes to, but still, the answer was, you're not the right fit for us. Over the course of a year of receiving a lot of no's, I was discouraged. After a year of looking, I started looking for any job. Is there any job that would take me? What's wrong with me that I cannot even get a job? God finally opened a door to a part-time job in the school that I had attended. This job was working with computers and audiovisual equipment, and I began to serve God in that position. Again, it's not what I expected, but orchestrated by God nonetheless. The part-time job quickly turned full-time, and I came to love working with computers. God allowed me a time to learn some skills that I would eventually take with me. It was during this time that I had completely stopped sending out applications for ministry positions. And I have two reasons. One, Rebecca, our third child, was about to be born. And the other reason is I was just discouraged and I needed a break.
And Satan was being very, very loud in his head. And Satan loves to steal what God's called you to.
But through a series of divine interventions, an elder from a Wisconsin church got my information. I didn't send anything to him, nor did I know the church even existed. But he called me and asked me if I was still considering a pastoral position. I should have been excited, right? You know, I've been discouraged for so long, and finally I'm getting a call that I should be excited about. But I remember quickly telling him I wasn't looking for a church. You know, at this point, I was just discouraged and wasn't really ready for another no. But I didn't tell him no. I just said, well, we can keep talking about it. We'll keep the door open and conversation. And I'm so glad that I did not close that door to that elder who contacted me. And his name was Cal Keepers. And on January 1st of 2014, we moved to Jump River, Wisconsin to serve as pastor of this church, Christ Community Church.
And I have to tell you, God was at work in so many ways. There's so many stories that we could tell you over that two-year period from when it came to we'd closed the door, we thought we were wandering in the wilderness, to, you know, Cal's phone call. And even after that point, there was a lot of prayer, a lot of fasting, a lot of seeking God. I know Joey more than one time, he said, I wish God would just give me the billboard. I mean, we lived in a city. There were lots of billboards. He'd just have to flash it up for a second and I'll know what I'm supposed to do. And we got to the point where we were asking God, don't even open the door if we're not supposed to walk through it. So, like I said, we are here because of God. So I'd like you to read this little poem with me. You maybe have heard of it. It's called The Road Not Taken by Robert Frost. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both. And be one traveler, long I stood, and looked down one as far as I could, to where it bent in the undergrowth, and then took the other, as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and it wanted wear. Though as for that, the passing there had warned them really about the same, and both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all of the difference. I find it really interesting where it talks about the way leading on to the way. You know, when we take one way, it takes us on to another way, and another way, and another way. You know, places we couldn't see or predict when we're standing at that fork, deciding whether we're going to take the safe, predictable path, or we're going to take this less traveled one, one that requires trust and risk, and not just any trust and risk, but risk and trust with God. And I love that saying that says, you know, we can trust an unknown future to a known God.
Again, there's a lot of stories that intermingle in there, and you're getting a broad, just a broad overview. I remember meeting Nelson and Rhoda long before I even knew about this church, maybe even a couple of years before we came here, and just meeting them at a wedding, and finding out later on this is where they were. And so there's a lot of little stories, but I will say that the journey the Lord has led us on was definitely not always easy. I think God finds humor in systematically pulling me out of my comfort zone. I like my bubble. If you haven't figured that out, I like my comfort zone, and my bubble is small. But my God is a great big God, and He likes to see me step out of it. He systematically does that. And He also responds to my prayers in unexpected ways, as you've heard through this story. I always have in mind what I think the answer should be. But that's a lot of times not what it is.
And I should tell you, too, that even his buddies, when he left law enforcement, you know, he had the same character as a law enforcement officer as he does as a minister. And a lot of his buddies said, yeah, we could see that. You know, he'll be enforcing the law. It's just another kind.
But following God's direction meant giving up a career in law enforcement for me. It meant giving up the identity that came with it. It meant giving up our house that we had built. It meant leaving family. It meant going back to school for me. I remember after finishing law enforcement college, I was glad to be done. But it meant going back to school for me. It meant traveling in a direction that we could not see nor plan for. Like I said, some of these things were painful. And I'm going to tell you right now, they were not painful because God asked for a lot. That's not why it was painful. It was painful because I held them too tight. I allowed my occupation to define me instead of allowing God to define me. I placed too much value on things, and they became a foothold for me. I had an encounter with Christ on a quiet Wisconsin road, and he simply asked me to serve him. Though I'm not exactly proud of all my responses to the Lord, they are most definitely human responses. And we're going to see a number of them as we walk through the Bible, looking at characters of the Bible when they've interacted with God. You can see where I have faltered in my faith. I've wrestled with God and struggled to give up things. Are there days that I miss being a deputy? Yes. But following the Lord meant I needed to give up one dream so that he could give me another, a greater dream to follow. And I would do it all over again in a heartbeat.
Sometimes we have to step away to step forward.
And through it all, in every situation, God has been faithful. I've been here in Jump River for 5 years now as pastor. But I'm thankful for the Lord. And he was victorious in my life. And I'm proud to be a part of what the Lord is doing.
Don't get too comfortable. Because God can call you. He has a call on you. We're just people. We try to be God-honoring, God-following, and we know that you are the same.
God doesn't call everyone to do what he asked me and my family to do. But I do have a challenge for you. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I hope you do. And if he is your Lord, and when he asks you to follow him, will you go? Will you go even if it takes you to a different place, doing something you have never done? My challenge for you, as it's a constant challenge for me, is this. Will you say or continue to say, here I am, Lord. Use me. Use us. Take it from me, there is no better place to be than where God wants you. And I will testify to that.
And I will as well.
Let's close in prayer.